You're listening to Cinematic Adventures, proud member of the Misfit Faction Media Network.
Good morning, Vietnam!
I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
You're gonna need a bigger boat.
I feel the need for speed.
Roads, we're going, we don't need roads.
Snakes, why did it have to be snakes?
Vices? We don't need no vices. I don't have to show you any stinking vices.
You make me want to be a better man.
Nobody puts baby in a corner.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Love means never having to say you're sorry.
He's looking at you, kid.
Not bad. I'm just drawn that way.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Cinematic Adventures. Don't forget, if you guys are listening to us on the go, you can find us on Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, iHeartRadio, basically anywhere you get your podcasts. You can also find more of our content on our website, themisfitfaction.com. There you find links to not only this show, but some of our other shows like the Multiverse Fancast and MF Uncensored, as well as news, reviews, articles, and of course, our merch store. As always, I'm one of your hosts, Paul. With me in the studio today is Sean. Sean, how art thou?
I am good. Happy Cinco de Mayo, Paul.
That is right. At time of recording, it is Cinco de Mayo, or Revenge of the Fifth. Revenge of the Fifth.
I know.
Because like yesterday was May the 4th. Okay, just
making
sure.
I'm establishing it for the people who don't understand what it means.
I think if they're listening to a movie podcast during like Star Wars time, they probably you guys get it.
You never know.
You never know. You guys get it. Also, via the Zoom studio, making another return because this is what we do on Friday nights now, is our good friend Brendan, aka BlindBat8719.
Hey guys, thanks again for having me on. It's a blast.
Yeah, it's definitely a blast, and we are always happy to have you via the Zoom studio. Don't come to my house, please.
Oh, come on, you have a nice house.
I do have a nice house, that's why I don't want you. No, I'm just kidding, we love you, Brendan. But, so, yes, we are continuing our discussion on Star Wars. We are getting into The Last Jedi crap. But anyway, so, before we get into...
Way to tip your hand, Paul.
I'm going to say it, I hate this movie. It's very rare that we do a movie that I hate so much.
Fast and the Furious, the last one.
See, I don't even hate those movies. I'm just not interested anymore.
Fast and Furious 9. You hated that movie.
It was Cars in Space.
I know.
I didn't hate it. I just didn't enjoy it. There's a difference. All right? Cut it out. You know I'm fired up. Why would you do this to me right now?
All right. F you.
How short is the list of movies you hate? Just because I'm curious now.
It's not very long. Like there are very few movies.
It takes a lot for Paul to hate something.
Like and I've tried. I've tried to watch this movie again. I will say there are some good things in it, but overall, it's stupid. Stupid movie. And I like Rian Johnson. I like him too. All right. Rian and Rian are doing a great job with everything but Star Wars.
Okay.
And I'm mad. So I know we're going to do initial thoughts in a minute, but...
Too late. You've already established.
So do you want to do the news first, Sean?
Let's do the news, Paul.
Go.
Alrighty, sir. So, as of recording, it's now been, I believe, a couple days since this happened, but we are in the midst of another strike for the Writers Guild of America. It's now been 15 years, as anyone recalls, back in 2007. We had a very significant time where the writers were on strike, and a lot of TV shows, a lot of live shows really suffered from that. And as of right now, there's no end in sight, and a lot of the late night talk shows are no longer in production.
Which
SNL has pretty much said we're done, and for the rest of the year.
Do you remember the last time this happened? If there was such a big support from all the actors, I feel like there was support, but I feel like it's a lot more now.
I agree with you. I don't remember that much support the last time.
Was it a social media thing? Maybe just
it could have been a social media thing. But I always feel that writers, actors, directors—they're all kind of in the same. They should support each other because really, you're all fighting for the same thing.
Right.
It's the studios that you gotta, go up against and stuff like that. But it's, again, as we were talking about before we started recording, especially with the late night shows, I believe Fallon, Colbert, and Kimmel, are not recording anymore because, they're standing, alongside the writers, which I don't think happened back the last time. So it's... We'll see. I don't know how long this is going to go on for. Obviously, the longer it goes, the more in danger certain shows are for next year.
Because they got to start all that production for the fall season
absolutely.
Soon.
You got to. You got to start writing episodes for next year. You got to start, basically filming them within the next month.
Makes you wonder how far some of the shows were before this happened. So I remember the last time this happened, there were two shows that I remember significantly impacted. Mm-hmm. One was Supernatural, yeah. season 3, yep. and you can feel the tone shift towards the very ends.
And
where
Smallville.
And I was going to say Heroes.
Well, Heroes.
Yeah. A lot of people say that...
Is that season 2 or season 3?
Season 2. Okay.
Season 2.
A lot of people say that the writer's strike is what killed Heroes because the season 2 just went to crap because of it.
Yeah.
I think season 3 of Prison Break, that was one where mm-hmm. I remember like my friend watched it was like, yeah, by the season 4, they just totally retconned and made sure like season 3 never actually happened.
Yeah, that's fair.
Smallville was the Supergirl season. That was the writer's strike.
Yeah, that's right.
Which I don't remember the strike really hurting that show. I just don't think the season was that good to begin with.
Mm-mm.
But I don't remember much else. But I know like shows got canceled. I mean, shows can get canceled, movies not too worried about.
No.
Because if any movies that are going to come out in 2023, and late 2023, they're already made. They're already written.
Also, there's so many scripts just sitting on shelves collecting dust. Like
now, rewrites, that's another story.
Right.
If you have to rewrite something, then you have to, directors are going to have to do it.
And there's going to be writers who aren't part of the guild that'll do freelance work for all this.
If you're not part of the guild, yes.
Yeah,
but obviously, you're not going to cross the picket line.
No.
Yeah, no, because I saw something that said if you are not in the guild now and you are a scab and you write something while the strike is going on, if you try to apply for guild membership later, they will deny you membership.
Oh, of course they will.
Absolutely.
Yeah. My time to shine, boys.
There you go. call up Superman Lois, being like, hey, guys.
Dude, you got to watch this season.
Keep telling me.
It's phenomenal. Like, as much as I love Tom Welling as like my TV Superman, I'm pretty sure Tyler Hoechlin's going to take that.
That's fair. But Tyler Hoechlin is actually playing Superman.
They do a great job with the balance of Superman and Clark Kent. Yeah. And this storyline this season has been intense. And they did what Superman Returns tried to do and failed miserably at, and they do it really well. Anyway, that's the multiverse fan cast talk.
Real question. Is John Cryer playing Lex Luthor in that
No.
show?
No.
Do they have a Lex Luthor in that
they
show?
They just...
Okay, don't tell me who it is, but I just...
Okay. Yeah, but curious. Apparently they established in season 2 that this isn't the same Earth.
Got it.
That it is an alternate Earth, even though it's still Tyler Hoechlin playing him, but it works, though. It's really good. But anyway, any other news that we would possibly like to discuss?
Not really. That was the biggest thing going on in Hollywood right now.
Yeah.
Probably going to be the biggest thing for a while.
So let's start off. We'll do initial thoughts on Star Wars The Last Jedi. We'll start with our dear guest and dear friend and probably the most optimistic out of all of us, Brendan. Brendan, what are your initial thoughts?
I remember walking out of the movie theater and thoroughly enjoying the movie. The subplot was maybe a bit of a downer, but I remember actually enjoying it. I liked where it took some different stuff. I didn't care for the characterization of Luke at this point. That was something I really wasn't a fan of, but I liked where like Rey and Kylo Ren, Ben Solo, where they were kind of going with some stuff. I thought the fight scene and the surprise twist at the end was pretty nice. And then the final sacrifice was pretty freaking cool. And then seeing some unexpected force powers by Leia. So a lot of cool things that were fun. And again, I'm a huge fan of Rian Johnson. He directed one of my favorite movies, Brick. So yeah, initial thoughts, I actually remember enjoying the movie. Yeah.
So this is Brendan's last time on the show.
God, you are such oh, a
no.
child.
No, I'm such kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. We will stay objective and we will offer all points. Sean?
Rephrase that. Brendan and I will stay objective. Paul will just be in the corner going, I hate this movie.
But I will also add arguments and reasons. I'm not just stomping my feet and going, I hate this movie. I don't want to take a nap.
It's like a kid in a toy store.
I want the toy.
I'll just say it's funny because usually I'm the emotional one. It's like beating, like I'm the fan beating myself, and I'm the one being objective now.
No, shut up, both of you. All right, Sean.
Initial thoughts. I was very excited for this movie, obviously, from where Force Awakens ended. As I recall walking out of the movie, I wasn't upset. Like, I wasn't spouting, this is the worst thing I've ever seen.
Did it marinate?
Had to marinate.
Yeah.
Looking back on it, there are some moments in this movie that are good. The story is just all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say this, and I will say this till I'm blue in the face. I truly believe the reason this trilogy failed, not money-wise, I get that, it made tons of money, but failed in the eyes of the fans, is because there was no story decided on when it started.
Right.
There, Lucas had episodes 4, 5, and 6 in his head. Now, was it all perfect? No, he had to stretch it out. He had to, you know, add things here and there. But it just felt like they made Force Awakens, and then it was like, well, what do we do next? That's what it felt like.
It was a big box of mystery by J.J. Abrams again.
Yeah, it was, you know, we get J.J. Abrams directing Force Awakens. He's not directing this one. It's a different director. Okay, well, that happened in the first trilogy.
Was it the same screenwriter?
No, I think Rian Johnson wrote the screenplay. Yeah. So that was my overall, that looking back on it was my main thing. And as we'll get into it more, and Paul, you will obviously go to town in a second or two on that. But the Luke, I will be on the wrong side of this. I did not have a problem with the way Luke was handled in this movie. He was Yoda. It was literally like making him Yoda. He was in seclusion. He ran because, you know, he didn't want to, you know, have to deal with, you know, what had happened to Kylo. I mean, that was what it was. Mm-hmm. And I liked Mark Hamill. I thought he played the role great.
We'll talk about that.
He came out, obviously, and said I was not happy with the way they did it. And that put a sour taste in everyone's mouths right there. I mean, the movie had no shot because the actual actor is saying this is not the right way we should have handled Luke. Mm-hmm. But, you know, what are you going to do?
All right.
Here we go.
Initial thoughts.
All right, folks. Put it down.
Initial thoughts. I don't like this movie. All right, so moving on. So, like Sean, I was very excited to go into this film, The Return of Luke Skywalker, who is arguably one of my favorite characters from the series. He's the stereotypical hero. He's the prototype for a lot of modern stories. Like, he's the hero's journey personified, and you get this ending to Return of the Jedi that's just so, like, wrapped up in a bow, and it's, like, so nice and friendly and all these things. And then we got Leia and Han, who Leia's still being the hero that she always was. By the way, she did get her star on the Hall of Fame.
Absolutely.
Or the Walk of Fame,
Mark
excuse
Hamill
me.
Mark Hamill was there. Gave a great speech.
Yep. May 4th, of course.
Yeah, had to be.
Han Solo's still doing his scoundrel ways, because scoundrels got a scoundrel. But they also had other things that we learn. You know, they got married. Or they didn't get married. I don't know. They had a kid. And, you know, that's the story. But I was really excited to see Luke come back. I was excited to see, like, I was spoiled by all the years of expanded material, where it shows Luke, Grandmaster of the Jedi, one of the most, like, the Force personified. Everything Anakin Skywalker was supposed to be, he was. Mm. Like, the fullest potential of the Force. So I was excited. I got it. He's in seclusion. He, you know, the trailers show, you know, the line, and it's a great line where he's like, you know, the Jedi, it's time for the Jedi to end. Mm-hmm. Like, I wanted to see that story, but then it happens. And it is just, it's heartbreaking, like, how they wrote Luke Skywalker. They went too
They made him too depressed, too just angry, too, you know, woe is me.
He was not Luke Skywalker anymore.
No, and he was an angry old man.
And I don't have a problem with that per se, but I would have much preferred they went the Obi-Wan Kenobi route, where, yeah, he's this desert hermit who's away from the, but he's still in the fight in some capacity.
Now, do you think they didn't do that because it would just, again, it would have been like, can you guys come up with something original? You're basically remaking the original trilogy.
So I think my biggest issue with this film was they could not find a balance between fan expectation and trying something new.
Yeah.
For Star Wars fans, as much as, like, we're all Star Wars fans here, mm-hmm. but there is a level of toxicity to the Star Wars fandom.
I will always say I'm a Star Wars fan, but I am not a diehard Star Wars fan.
Like, you remember all the stuff with Rose in this, like, the fan.
With John Boyega.
Yeah, and first and foremost, we will not condone any sort of, like, if you're going to harass an actor on Twitter, you're just a terrible person.
Yeah.
Like,
agreed. Yeah, that's messed up. Like, come on, like, so
she took,
yeah,
a, just, like, she took apart
the person.
Yeah, it's dumb. But ironically enough, I didn't have as much problem. Like, I didn't have issue with Rose as a character, except for the very end. That the ending is the only kiss? Time. Not even the kiss. Like, she stopped him from sacrificing himself to win. Like, they would have won, like, but there's some very questionable writing in this. It's very, here's what the fans want, but we're going to do the opposite because it'll be surprising and it'll change things up. They went too far the opposite way. They overcorrected, and then it gets even worse in the next film. So, yeah. With that, we're going to start off very simply because we're going to do the plot points in the second half of the episode, but we're going to talk first about some of the new characters in this. All right. Who do you want to start with, Sean?
Well, I guess we have to really start with Kelly Marie Tran as Rotiko. She was probably the... I don't want to say she was the face of the reason why people dislike this movie. Again, as we just said, she was just tormented by people on social media.
And again, I didn't have a problem with
that's
her.
That's the thing, though. Like, we're Star Wars fans just taking out their anger on her. Well, again, I don't want to speak for all Star Wars fans, and I'm not. Mm-hmm. This is just some jackasses who don't have life. But it was just also, her character just kind of felt forced to me. It was just not, it didn't flow.
It didn't flow. It started off with a nice flow.
Yeah.
And then kinda... we'll talk about the subplot in this film, because it really, the subplot should have been its own Disney Plus special or something like that. Like, yeah. it just didn't work at all.
Yeah.
Brennan, what do you think about Rose in this?
I'm indifferent, I guess. I'm trying to remember back what I thought, because having my son around, who's, you know, going to be turning one soon, kind of hard to find time to rewatch the movies. But I remember thinking, okay, it's kind of maybe a little annoying, but, you know, there's a character for everybody, and they got to do this subplot thing, and okay, cool. But I mean, I'm fine with her. I just, maybe a little annoying at times, because like, it was not the part of the movie that I came to watch was her and Finn. She was not a reason why I came to watch this movie.
Agreed. So let's talk now also one of the newer characters, Laura Dern as Vice Admiral Holdo. I like Laura Dern. I really do. I have no problem with her. Again, I have no problem with the casting in this movie. It's all very good. Even like these new characters. There was no reason for her to be like, I don't have to tell you my plan. Like,
they made her... They were making it as if she was either incompetent or just was against Leia's, you know, wishes.
No, against Poe.
Well, against Poe, because Poe assumed she wasn't doing the right thing by the Resistance.
Not gonna lie, I will never not laugh at that opening scene when Poe's talking to him, the Hux on the communications.
Yeah. I'll hold.
I'm waiting for General Hux, and it's very Han Solo, and I appreciated it. But keep going. I'm sorry.
No, I'm just going to say, but I will give her, she's got one of the more badass moments in this trilogy.
Yeah. And in fact, they have to address it the next movie. It's like, it was a 1 in 10 trillion% chance of like actually working. But it's a great visual. Like,
oh, it's a great visual.
Like the whole hyperspace thing. And because you wonder like what would happen in that regard.
Because we've never seen anything like that.
No. And that is an addition that I enjoyed.
Yeah.
Some of the, but I just like, there was no reason for her to be like, we're going, like, to not be like, we're going to a base. Don't, like, that's our plan.
Yeah. What? But I think she was obviously under the instructions of Leia, and Leia was probably like, don't tell them everything or something. And it was,
it's just,
Poe's also like a hothead. He's, you know,
it was an unnecessary drama.
It just felt, felt forced. Well,
I think
like,
part of that was the deal more like they're trying to make Poe, they wanted Poe to be more the hot-headed rebel thing. And the only way to have, like, have the audience side with Poe is always going to be right. Poe is going to be right. And he's the boss doesn't understand. And they're kind of like recreating that where like the worker knows how to get the job done, but the boss doesn't know what he's doing at all. And I think that, so they kind of had to force her to write that way, because they wanted to kind of have her be an antagonist really to what Poe was trying to do with the rebellion.
I also think they were trying to get him away from Han Solo. Say what you will about Han Solo as a scoundrel, but he never like fought against a leader. Like, he joined the Rebel Alliance, and he was like, I'm you know, General Solo, like, you tell me what to do and I'm gonna do it.
I really do believe, I think they saw what Force Awakens was, and they were like, we literally remade New Hope.
Mm-hmm.
How can we make
and
it
the
different?
The fans were vocal about it.
They were vocal about it, and but it was, I think they overcorrected themselves, as you've said,
much.
Way too much. It was, how do we split these characters up to come up with like totally new things for them to happen. I mean, did anyone see a romantic interest between Kylo and Rey in the first one?
I hate it.
I was like, really?
I didn't have a problem with their force bond.
The force bond's one thing.
That's one thing. And I thought it was an interesting, you know, like, tie between the two of them, and it made sense story-wise.
And by the way, the rule of last week is out the door. We can look forward to Rise of Skywalker and say how much this movie doesn't get redeemed at all in the next one.
No, because again, they overcorrected the opposite way.
I mean, jeez, God.
So it's weird because the critics love this movie. Like the critics,
I was looking that up. Yeah.
And the audience score is what it's like. And again, it's for the fans. The critics aren't spending money to go see these movies, even though this movie made over $1 billion.
The critics are looking at, you know, the writing, the visuals, all that stuff. Yeah. They're not looking at what are the fans looking for.
I can't wait till we have to discuss our like things that we liked in this movie. I'm going to have some trouble. And then
I have a couple things.
I have a couple things.
I can give you a few things if you. If
thanks,
you're
I appreciate
trouble.
It. And then the last part is the last new character is Benicio del Toro as DJ.
I don't even remember his part, honestly.
He's a code breaker that they recruit to get onto the ship to, you know, like hack into it. And then he's like, no, I'm actually a bad guy, yo. Out.
Who saw that coming?
I know, shocking. Benicio del Toro? What? But yeah, he's exceptionally forgettable otherwise.
Well, I feel like they just made his character to recreate the whole betrayal by
Lando.
Lando to the dark side. That's the only reason why they have that character in here.
Well, it's like his cameo in Guardians as the Collector. It's just like the same kind of feel to it. What was I just going to say?
I don't know. I don't know. I can't read your mind.
And he collected a pretty paycheck for both of them.
Probably. Oh, my God. Stupid money.
I forgot. Go ahead.
All right. Well, with that, we are going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we are breaking down the three main plots of this film. But first, a quick break. Hey guys, it's Paul, and the Misfit Faction is looking for your help. We are trying to grow not only our network, but also grow our brands. And the best way to do that is if you guys are looking to start your very own podcast. Maybe you guys have been listening to us for a while. Maybe it's something you guys have always wanted to do, but you're not sure how to get started. If you go to podbean.com/misfitfaction, you guys will get a month of free podcasting on a set as a gift from us. So make sure if you guys are looking to start your own show, you reach out to us and go to podbean.com/misfitfaction. Also, maybe you guys have your own online business or service. You're always looking to grow, and advertising is a very big part of that. If you guys go to sponsorship.podbean.com/misfitfaction, you guys can get $100 worth of free advertising, again, as a thank you from us to you guys. That's sponsorship.podbean.com/misfitfaction. All right, we are back, and it is time to jump into the plot of this film. Plot's a very strong word. I very firmly believe They were just picking things out of a hat at one point. And they're like, all right, so we're going to have two characters go to this casino planet?
I did just remember actually what I was going to ask.
Oh, what were you going to ask?
Did Carrie Fisher passed away like right before this was released,
right? Right before.
Okay, she was done filming, but it was before it was released, and then they had already started filming
Rise of Skywalker, which is
or did they not? Was she totally computer generated in Rise of Skywalker?
I think they did some unused footage.
That's what it was. And, it was unused footage from this movie.
And then
that
some CGI work.
Okay.
Yeah. So let's start really quick with Carrie Fisher in this film because she's not like they take her out of commission like a fourth of the way in.
Not even. I think it's like
in the first 15-20 minutes.
Which I'm sorry. I know she has the Force, but that was the dumbest
thing. It was the Mary Poppins thing. Yeah, it was bad. It would have been better. Well, I like the scene setup, right? With Kylo Ren, and we saw it in the trailers, like him about to fire, and he doesn't. Yeah. And that's our first look at possible redemption for him. And it would have been better if the torpedoes hit, and then it just cuts to her holding back the fire in the cockpit with the Force. Like something like that would have been way better. Yeah. Or they should have just, I hate to say it, they should have just killed her there.
Which we knew wasn't.
Well, that's the thing about Star Wars. Luke Skywalker dies in this film, but he's still in the next one.
Spoiler.
I know. Sorry. Full spoilers for this crappy movie.
Yeah. Because it was, I just remember I think everybody in the theater went like, oh, and then she started to like,
float.
I distinctly remember everyone there going like, what the frick?
Yeah,
is this really happening?
It's one of those weird things. Again, like we were talking about, I think in the last one about, we like the idea that, you know, some people are Force sensitive and some are really strong with the Force.
Yeah.
And she never really trained. Like, so she should, from what we've seen on screen with her, we would expect, you know, okay, she knows maybe a thing about Luke. She maybe can read intentions better. She maybe can pull a mind trick once in a while. But they come out and have a really cool moment, but to have such an awesome display of power in the Force,
yeah,
which is just apparently genetic and didn't, you know, we don't see here, know anything
midichlorians.
About
That I think you're right, Brendan. That was the thing. It was like we never saw her train. It wasn't just the connection with her and Luke
and Han.
But it was, and then you see a little bit of Force Awakens, where obviously when she knows Han has been killed. Yeah. But like you never see her fully use
until the Force. They rewrite it in the next movie, where it was like, oh, she did her Jedi training.
Yeah.
Here's her lightsaber.
Convenience. Yeah, like that's something needed more setup and whatnot, and that was so cool moment. But you're like, and that's where like people are like, it's one of those things where like it's cool, but it's so out of left field and unexpected. It does, if you're a fan of the stuff, you're like, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah. There's a lot of things in this movie don't make sense. All right, so do we want to start with, we have Rey and Luke,
mm-hmm.
Finn and Rose,
mm-hmm.
or we have the Resistance stuff?
I say let's start with Finn and Rose. Get it out of the way.
Okay, so. Finn, who was left in dire straits at the end of Force Awakens, he's like in a coma,
yeah.
wakes up, and it's all chaosy. And he's like, oh my God, what's going on? And they're like, these things. And he's like, okay, I'm going to help. Doesn't help. And he and Rose end up on an adventure to this casino planet to find a code breaker. Oh God, it's so stupid.
Wasn't it also the point of the subplot was supposed to have like some sort of ecological, like environmental message?
On this planet of slaved children mm-hmm. and slaved animals, they decide, we're going to free the animals. Little children are in their cages going, what about us? No.
Oh.
Horses. Space horses. Gotta save them.
What was the worst moment, that or Cars in Space?
Oh, God.
Who would win in a fight? Cars in Space?
Well done. Or the Space Horses?
Oh, Space Horses.
I would say, like, which one's worse?
Which one's worse? You gotta go Cars in Space, man. Come on.
So the only defense I would give Cars in Space is that we've been joking about it for so long that they finally did it.
Yeah.
At least they fan-serviced us in some way. But yeah, Cars in Space will always be worse. But, like, and then they get the code breaker, or not the one that they expected, but they get, like, somebody else who's like, I can do this job. And they end up getting captured, and their whole plan, the like 45 minutes of runtime that's devoted to this plan, doesn't work. Now, I don't have a problem with that per se, because sometimes it's annoying that everything works out. But and then you get this moment that you think Finn and Phasma are going to have their epic rematch, or their like their antagonistic, and then she goes out like a punk. And oh God, it's just.
So this who punked worse than? Was it Boba Fett or Phasma?
Oh, Boba Fett. It's always going to be Boba Fett.
This is a 2.5-hour movie. I forgot.
It is a long movie.
Yeah.
A long
movie. So, yeah.
And they end up making it to the Resistance planet. I think they land. They go in a TIE fighter.
Yes.
And like Finn's all like, I've never flown one of these. Oh, my God. It's so fast. But so they end up helping in with the Resistance. Now, I do like the visuals of the salt planet with the red.
Mm-hmm.
I remember seeing it in the trailer going, that's a unique style.
Yeah,
and Finn's like, I'm going to destroy this space gun, and I'm going to save everyone, but I'm going to sacrifice myself to do it. Heroic sacrifice. It's all about family. Mm-hmm. Another Fast and Furious reference. And Rose, who met him 4 days ago, decides, no, because suddenly I'm in love with you. And let's not discuss it at all in the next movie. In fact, let's just relegate her to a cameo.
Yeah. It's all falling back into Brandy's. It's like, oh God, yes, I remember that.
Yeah, no, there's no setup for some of that. But it wasn't like there was a scene of her around the corner looking at Finn talking to Poe and being like, at least a little setup. At least there was none of that. It was just totally random.
It was just.
There's something in Hollywood that puts people together. I have female friends who I've never been attracted to in my entire life.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't we just have that? It makes so much more sense. And I understood her message. Like, if we have to sacrifice even one life, that's one life too many. Okay, everybody's going to die.
Did they not have, what was it, Infinity Gauntlet back in the Infinity War?
Yeah.
Like, we sacrificed one life, you lost the whole thing. You sacrifice everybody, you might actually win.
Yeah. But, and then it just kind of ends with that, with them. There's not much more to them in this entire story.
Yeah.
I would have been much more happy if they had just done the gay subtext with him and Poe. That was a big thing.
You knew they were never going to do that.
They were never going to do that. I think it's the next movie that they have the first, like, on-screen gay couple. And
which is off-center.
Yeah, and China bans, like, or cut the scene.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
But anyway, all right, so That anybody anything else on Rose?
You basically laid it out there, man. So there's really not much more I can add to
that.
Do you
know what's Rose even... the one that dropped all the bombs in the opening scene?
Her and her sister. Yeah, her sister dies.
Okay, I was rewatching that, and I'm like, wait, why aren't they dead? Because there's no air. Like you open, like you think about, like they had opened the bottom to drop the bombs, but like they don't say there's a force field. Like for all I know, they're opening out straight into space. Shouldn't they have all the and then sucked out and died by then?
I think most of these ships have some sort of apparatus around them, like some sort of basic. Because okay. Like even like the shot of Vader in Rogue One after the Tantive V drops, like he's still just standing out there. Mm-hmm. But I mean, granted, okay. He has his own spacesuit basically. See, him floating through space would have been more realistic than Leia. Imagine Darth Vader. Just his cape out Batman style. God, I hate this movie.
I think what was worse about the Leia thing again was just everybody was just like, this can't be the way she goes out.
Just to put her in a coma for the rest of the movie,
that
basically.
That was it. And it felt like this couldn't have, was this their plan from all, like, did they go back and like rework this movie to make her live? Like,
I was looking up on Wikipedia, like some of the influences and whatnot. And they said, like, I haven't seen really any of these movies, but like Ryan Johnson had his writing group watch 12 O'Clock High, The Bridge on the River Kwai, Gunga Din, Three Outlaw Samurai, Sahara, and Letter Never Sent for inspiration.
Yeah, couldn't have watched like a single Star Wars movie. Earlier.
They're all action. Well, Gunga Din is an action adventure movie. It's very Indiana Jones-esque.
But they couldn't watch a single Star Wars movie, apparently?
No.
Oh, my God. And it's evidence in this.
And I don't know if Rian Johnson's ever come out and been like, you know, this was all on me, or was
he... Oh, no, he defends this movie.
Oh, he does. Because I guarantee you, he was told... Do whatever you want.
Carte blanche.
And, of course, you know, he did whatever he wanted, and that was not what they should have told him.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't blame him. I don't blame, you know, I blame whoever's in charge. Like, why didn't you have a three-story plan?
They should have had a Kevin Feige for this.
Feige,
the only reason, like, I say that is because they were going to really franchise Star Wars. Mm-hmm. Like they wanted to do all the individual movies, like Rogue One, A Solo Story. The Mandalorian was coming out soon. I want to say at the time.
Well, this was 2017, so I think Mandalorian was still another 2 years away.
But they were at least, I think they were at least talking about
it. I think it was announced that there was a Star Wars show, but yeah. I don't think we knew it was The Mandalorian yet.
Like, they should have had somebody at least.
I agree with you. They should have had somebody, which they thought was Kathleen Kennedy.
Oh, that's what I thought I was going to say. I thought, and wasn't she the one that had the vision for this stuff?
I don't know if she had the vision as more as she was just in charge.
Signs the checks.
They didn't have a visionary. They didn't have a George Lucas who mm-hmm. had the at idea least an in his idea. Head. Because Force Awakens was written by Lawrence Kasdan. Lawrence Kasdan wrote Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi. Okay, great. But again, he basically just reintroduced the characters and remade New Hope. Mm-hmm. I'm going to keep saying that because that's what it was.
Yeah, you know, I agree.
But
totally.
He didn't, either they didn't ask him to or he didn't want to, but I think they came back for Rise of Skywalker. Mm-hmm. But after that, the damage is done.
Yeah, it's way too
late. You can't fix this.
They made it worse, though.
That's what's
blows my mind.
They didn't. They couldn't even salvage anything.
I'm not sure if I used this analogy last time, but it's kind of like when you're playing the game, like you can't repeat yourself or you got to like build off the previous person and whatnot. That was, again, the third one, that's, they should have just leaned into it and like, all right, we made these crazy decisions. How can we kind of lean into it and still turn it the way we want as opposed to just retconning things?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, another thing I don't know if we'll ever know, but let's not forget that Colin Trevorrow was the original director for what was to be Rise of Skywalker. I'm wondering if him and Rian Johnson had something combined where they kind of knew what they wanted to do. And because this one was so hated, they went to him and like, hey, man, we want to change a lot of things. And he was like, no. Okay, I'm stepping down. Yeah. Bring back J.J. Abrams, who's just a yes man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, yes, no man. Offense to J.J. Abrams.
But I like J.J. Abrams, and I like his – like, he did great work with Star Trek. We enjoyed at least the first two movies.
I like the third one.
The third one's
but
fine.
He didn't direct it.
I don't think so. But like, and I never watched Lost, so I'm not going to be like J.J. Abrams. Like, he was Zack Snyder before Zack Snyder. To a point.
I hear you. But
all right, so let's move on to the Poe storyline.
Okay,
so it's really about him. I like how he's like it starts off with they're like, you can't be so reckless. You have to be a leader. He's like, okay, mutiny.
I think this time around, I think Poe gets more my award of most more annoying character out of the three, because I feel like the first one was definitely Finn with his constant trying to get out of things and running away and like whatever, all this shenaniganery. And this time it was like, Poe, like, come on, man, either play nice or like be smarter about any of this stuff, because you're really like, I like you as a character. You're a really cool dude, but you're like, you're making all these dumb mistakes that I feel like you shouldn't be making.
So for me, what happened was, again, it feels like they put down a hat and they're like, all right, so we're going to have Poe be reckless, mutiny storyline, redemption at the end. Like, literally, it's like, it's four.
It is very funny seeing you pull those things out of the hat and be like, oh, wow, that's exactly the story of this movie.
Wow, so weird.
It's like the old South Park episode when they were like, how does Family Guy come up with these things? It's manatees. They just, you know, pick a ball that says this one matches with this one.
Yeah.
And that's your story.
There it is. Yep. And so basically it starts off with him. He's reckless and he takes out a dreadnought, but like at the cost of everybody. And like Leia's like, you cut it out. Like, okay. Yes, General.
Well, I think, like, okay, with that, I saw that bit again, and I'm like, I think what they probably should have communicated to him is like, yeah, I know you want to take out a dreadnought, which probably actually has thousands of people in it, but she's like, we're a small rebel force. We, like, so, like, if they lose one dreadnought, they have another 10 still on the side. If we lose 10 fighters, we only got 11. You know, so you're not realizing, like, we have, this is a battle of resources, and you spend way too many of our resources to get small victories. You're not going to win a war this way.
It really makes me wonder, too. Like, so basically, we don't get to see any of this. The Mandalorian has finally been fleshing out the like what happened after the Civil War and there's the beginning of the New Republic and all that stuff. The resistance is working on behalf of the New Republic. So it makes you wonder why the New Republic does not have enough money or resources to fund this resistance. I feel like, again, there's something missing that we never get an explanation on. It's just, all right, they're the bad guys. Yeah. And they are heavily armed, in fact.
And just another point to that, like, the whole point of the rebellion was to, like, in the end of the Return of the Jedi was, oh, we win, and therefore now we have the say in government. So what did you guys do so wrong in a generation again that you're now again the resistance fighters? Like,
yeah,
that's probably, again, another mistake in the story right crafting area of this stuff, where why are you making them the rebellion fighters? And they won again. Like, you're retreading old territory.
So
when you think about it, it can't be that long. I mean, Ben is probably born
Not too long after
Return of the Jedi.
I think
so 20, like
20 years, maybe?
I would say it's been 20
years.
Come on, guys.
So no spoilers, because it just had a season finale. But this season of The Mandalorian has really been digging into like the cloning, like Snoke and all that stuff, and a lot of stuff that leads to the First Order coming back. They do it Hydra style, apparently, where they build within the New Republic.
Okay.
So that might explain it, but again,
it's stuff we needed back
if
then.
If I have to figure it out, it's not good storytelling.
I agree with you, but what I'm saying is Mandalorian's going back and filling in the blanks that we all needed 7 years ago when this movie came out. That's the problem.
Yeah.
And that's what, and maybe Jon Favreau is the guy who...
He would have been a great choice to do this trilogy.
Yeah.
Oh, Sean is contemplating...
I don't know about that.
You don't know about that? That's fair.
I don't know about that.
That's totally fair.
I like Jon Favreau as a filmmaker, but...
Yeah, I only say that because he's doing so well with The Mandalorian.
He's doing very good with The Mandalorian. It's mixed on what people think of The Mandalorian. It's not, like...
Easy.
I'm just saying. It's
mixed. You're the only one who I've ever talked to that's like...
I've talked to other people, and they tell me the same thing.
But I'm the person you talk to. We talk to each other.
Really? I talked to other people,
only
Paul.
Three episodes into the first season of Mandalorian, I haven't picked it up since then.
Hold
but...
on, I have to address it. You talk nerdy to other people?
Yeah.
We're gonna have to talk
I mean,
about
you
this
know
he,
I'm in the room, right? Kinda, metaphorically speaking.
We're gonna have to talk off air about this. God, I thought we were making so much progress in couples therapy.
Sorry.
Don't tell my wife.
I'm really just not a fan of the therapist.
That's fair. But anyway, so for this though, like, and then it ends with Poe like, all right, I'm gonna be a super cool leader guy. Okay. I don't even think that plays out in the next movie either.
No, not at all.
So let's talk the real main story, or the story that everybody wanted to see, and the story that I think people were most invested in this.
Because we didn't get it in Force Awakens. We got 5 seconds of it at the end of the movie.
Yeah, it is Rey, Luke, and Kylo Ren. And Snoke, I guess, to a point.
Mm-hmm.
So let's start with Rey and Luke. And the continuation of the scene on the rock or the cliff.
You will have to admit.
Oh, it was funny when we first saw it.
When we first saw it, everybody laughed because they thought it was funny.
Yeah.
But who would have guessed that?
They referenced it in the next movie where Rey throws the lightsaber into the X-Wing debris and Luke catches it. He's like, a Jedi's weapon deserves more respect than that.
Yeah.
Stupid. Anyway.
But that shows you how lost Luke was and that he has, obviously now that he has moved on, he is aware that, what he did was dumb.
So I have so many issues with Luke. So he goes to kill his nephew.
Mm-hmm.
We find out in the flashbacks that what happened was he went to go kill Ben in his sleep because he had a bad dream. Darth Vader killed millions of people. And he was like, nah, man, like, you're still good. We could fix this. But to his nephew, death in his sleep. So that was one of my biggest just weird issues with this film. I have no problem with Kylo Ren being like the Knights of Ren and falling to the dark side and being seduced by Snoke. That would have been a better story, in all honesty, if they'd just shown that. But for me, like, you show that scene of Luke in the flashback, and it just doesn't make sense for Grandmaster of the Jedi Order, Luke Skywalker. So
I hear you with that. I also just made me think when you're talking about the Knights of Ren, I'm like, they so missed out on a merchandising opportunity. Like, you have seven guys in masks. Like, how many action figures that is? Like,
what a waste. The Knights of Ren were another big waste, especially in the next movie.
Mm-hmm.
But so there are some great things about the Luke and Rey stuff. Like, when he's explaining to her, like, hey, the Jedi just don't work as a concept. Like, this is what I learned. It's just doomed to repeat itself over and over again. I was like, okay, I can get behind that. I can get invested in it, right? I like that idea. The scene of when she's like trying to reach out to the Force and he starts like messing with her a little bit. I was like,
yeah, that was great.
I was like, that's pretty fun. And then when he sees how powerful she actually is and he has to like stop her from using it, again, that's a great scene. And that's a testament to the two actors. Even like when she goes to fight him and he kind of just smacks her around with like the weather vane, I was like, that's the Luke Skywalker.
Mm-hmm.
But then they end it horribly. And we'll talk about that at the end. But
what was I just going to say about the training? Because you had a good point that I wanted to bring up about. Oh, yeah. The line when he said, like, the Jedi have to end. Like, the idea that he's moved forward. I think when we all saw that, we're like all thinking, oh, okay. So he's realized the system's broke. And he actually has a thing he's trying to work towards. That's why he's away on this island. That's what he's going to tell Rey. Like, you got to walk maybe a middle path or something like that. And we don't get that. We kind of were expecting him. Oh, if Luke Skywalker is saying the Jedi must end, it must mean that he's found a way to go beyond, kind of like his master's beyond, where like Qui-Gon found a way to go beyond the Force, Yoda went away to go beyond the Force, Obi-Wan, all four of them found a way to go beyond the Force and saw a newer or better truth or more truthful truth.
Hmm. For me, though, like what's interesting is he stops being a Jedi. He's like, my nephew, I thought he was going to be evil. And I kind of betrayed him, so I'm here as penance. His nephew did become evil.
Yeah.
Like,
but did he become? Yeah, no, I got you.
I think there would have been even better reason. Like, if Rey was like, "No, you were right. There was a darkness in Ben Solo, and you were right. Like, he's out there harming people. It's your responsibility." So, like, I do like also the idea of like the legend of Luke Skywalker being so much bigger than Luke Skywalker actually is. Like all that, and I thought that stuff was interesting, but. The Ben and Rey stuff I actually did find intriguing, like the vision, the Force visions that the two are having, because
mm-hmm.
Kylo Ren is pouty child in this again, like when he shatters his helmet,
yeah.
Like they have to solder it back together in the next film. That is, if anything is visually representing the sequel trilogy, it is him putting his helmet back together. Like no, we like this.
Yeah, that was so annoying too. Like again, with just I know we're going to talk about the next movie next week, but it just feels so annoying that you made this decision in this one movie. This movie, The Last Jedi, makes a decision. He's going to smash the helmet, and again, and it in a way hits him kind of like Rey. He's reflecting. He's rejecting maybe some of the teaching of the dark side, while she's kind of like with Luke rejecting some of the teachings of the light side. And so just to like, oh yeah, we like the mask. It sells better. We're going to put that back together. It just was like, oh my God, why would you make that decision and go backwards?
Because the whole next movie is going backwards. But we do have the great scene of Luke and Yoda.
Yes.
The only thing I will not defend about that scene is when he's like, did you even read the books? Luke Skywalker would have, like, peak Luke Skywalker would have read the books.
Yeah.
The sacred texts, did you read them? Did you? I skimmed them. That's the Disney humor creeping in. And it was that was the only part of that scene was a little much. But like when Yoda pops up, like we were all like, okay, that's how you do it.
Yes. Share your Yoda's thoughts. Force ghost. And it was the OG Yoda.
It was the Empire Strikes Back Yoda.
It was Empire Strikes Back Yoda.
Yeah. The great Frank Oz. We love Frank Oz.
We do.
And then we get the climax with...
Well, can we also talk... Can we talk the storyline that we never got in the original trilogy where Vader killing the Emperor? Ben kills
Snoke.
And it was like... I didn't see that coming. That was a good little twist, but...
I didn't. It was a little anticlimactic because we had so many like theories about Snoke and who he was. Who is Snoke? Like,
we didn't really know anything about the guy.
And Disney fanned those flames. Yeah. They were like, we're going to find out more. We find out he's just a broken clone.
Yeah.
Stupid. But yeah. I have no problem. Again, though, they didn't stick the landing with that.
Agreed.
That was one of the better setups for a sequel. Mm-hmm. I would have been okay with Emperor Ren. Yeah. Like, but they had to make him good again. They had to go backwards and be like, no, we'll bring back the Emperor. It'll be really cool. Won't. Yeah.
But, no, you're right. Exactly. You're talking about, probably again, going back to the lack of not having a vision for all three films. Like, you also have, there's an arc for the character in the movie itself. And then you have the bigger arc that takes over three things. And I think, again, we all would have thought, well, you could say repetitive in a sense, but like the idea of the arc of Kyle slowly becoming the new leader, which Vader never ever became the new emperor, that would have been a fun story to follow along and have this epic struggle as him and Rey both increase in power on the respective sides, and then they have that big climactic clash. They didn't give us that.
Yeah. I do like the fight scene with them and the Praetorian Guards.
Mm-hmm. That is awesome.
It is a very good fight scene. I enjoyed watching it. It's the only one that I didn't like is when he pops the lightsaber into the guy's eye, and it's almost like a blaster shot, like pew. Like, I was like, that a little weird, but okay.
That is not as elegant as a blaster.
No. What are your thoughts on the nobody thing?
The what?
The nobody thing. Like, so in this film, they establish your parents were nobody. You come from nothing.
Yeah, that...
Do you think...
I'm fine with it.
Would it have been better if they had stuck with it for the next film?
Well, that's the thing. Like, what... The fact that they weren't nobodies, or is it just them... She's just being told that to save her from the truth.
Well, technically, the parents were nobodies. It's the grandpa.
Well, yeah, but that was you something. Would think, you know, they would... Whoever.
If you're the daughter of the... Or the son of the emperor, you probably were a little bit pampered. No, I think that them being nobodies, it was a bold choice and another twist.
We were all
thinking she was like Obi-Wan. That was a big somehow, but we knew she wasn't related to Luke. Obviously, at that point, it was
not until she changes her name. Yeah,
but no, I think it was a cool thing because I harp back about the idea that New Hope was about the random boy who happened to save the universe. So this time they're actually making her a random person who actually has the power to save the universe. So I was fine with her being nobody. Maybe a little disappointed she didn't have a lineage, but I'm like, ultimately that's fine because in reality, that's probably the truth. Your parents were whatever addicts I think they were or something like that, who sold you for some money, and you're never going to ever see them again. And that's a hard truth to face, but I think that was a good thing for the character, and I think that they, again, should have stuck with that because that, I think, was a little bit more. Like, I think you talked about it either, I think, last week, Paul, about how cool the story would have been. Like, this nobody came out of nowhere and ended up just taking out the most powerful Emperor Palpatine. Like, that would have been a cool, underdog story.
Yeah, I think they should have just committed to it at that point. But again, they we'll talk about it next week, but they backtrack hard. And, of course, we get the final scene where... Luke makes his dramatic...
Which started off like it was going to be epic.
So good.
And then they cut to him on the island and he's just doing the Force.
So we do have the great scene of him and Carrie Fisher.
Yes.
And there are theories that she knew that he wasn't really there.
Yeah.
You know, that she can tell. it's a great scene. The two of them kill it, and it breaks my heart, because especially when you rewatch it, it's even worse.
Oh yeah.
But he goes out there and they fire all those blasters at him, and we think we're gonna get peak Luke Skywalker, mm-hmm. or maybe not peak, but like the most powerful we've seen him.
We think we're gonna get to see what we would eventually see in the second season of Mandalorian.
Such a good scene. I can rewatch that scene anytime. Oh, wow. Yeah. It's that good. But the second he lights the blue lightsaber, I think I even said in the theater, I was like, there's something wrong. Like, that's not right. Why would he have a blue lightsaber? They showed him in the flashbacks with the green one. Mm-hmm. And I always loved the green lightsaber. It was my preference. But then they start to fight, and it is just so terribly janky.
Yeah, it was just not.
The technology wasn't there to have Mark Hamill doing like all these like weird... He just dodges the whole time.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
It was such a letdown. It really was.
I would have been better if Luke had actually died. Like, if Luke had gone there and fought and died... And, oh, God, they just did not handle it well. Somebody else talk.
Well, no, I mean, I see your point. Like, I mean, you think when you first watch it, it's like, oh, my God, look at that. But you're, like, a little disappointed. Like, why isn't he fighting back? He's just dodging. And then, obviously, that leads into the reveal of that, oh, it's a force projection. He's not there. So, clearly, any contact he makes. So, they say if you look at all the sand underneath his feet, it doesn't turn red. Like, anywhere he walks, there's no change from white to red like Kyle has or any of the other speeder stuff. So that was like the visual hint to the audience, if you pick up on it, that he's not actually there. But again, they took what would people want to see? How about Kylo and Luke fight? Okay, they were expecting that. What if we do the other thing instead and fake him out? And at the time it was like, all right, kind of cool. But now you're like, but why couldn't he have fought? We would have rather have seen that. And like you're saying, it feels he's gonna die regardless. Why not have him die trying to rectify his mistake in person? And it would have been really cool. Like, he flew all the way there. He did all this stuff. Logistics aside, like that. Yeah, I think they kind of do rob us at times of cool emotional beats.
They could have done something with Mark Hamill enough.
Oh, yeah.
To have him do a decent fight. And we needed our Obi-Wan moment. We needed our Qui-Gon moment. You needed him to go out the way those two did. You needed the sacrifice.
Not just a distraction.
Well, and to your point, you're right. Look, The Social Network, there's twins. It's the same. It's two different actors with the same face. They just CGI'd his face onto the other guy. They easily could have gotten a more younger, able-bodied person to do some really cool epic stuff and then just post on, you know, Mark Hamill's face onto that stuff.
So they did that in The Mandalorian, and it was a little hard. They de-aged him in The Mandalorian. Mm-hmm. De-aging, I find, it's getting better, but it's not what it's
still creepy.
It's still creepy. But then in The Book of Boba Fett, they had a body double who looked very much like Mark Hamill to the point where they probably could have just gotten away with it. But yeah. And then they just CGI'd Mark Hamill onto the face. So it was much better, but it's still jarring to look at.
And then just obviously you see him die, but it was just such a letdown. And I mean, we'll say it.
Like Han Solo has his epic heat. I know. Like they treated him so much better.
It really was. I mean, even our friend Matt in the theater just cries out, you know, the F word. He goes no.
Oh yeah.
Like, what? How did you do that to Luke Skywalker?
Mm-hmm.
Not even the death wasn't even honorable. There was nothing about that was just,
I'm just going to die now.
Yeah, it was really just
making doing a magic trick was really hard. Yeah. I would have been actually okay if him and Ren had actually fought and Ren retreated like a bitch.
Or if he just got his ass kicked by Ren, I would have been okay with that.
So I think that would have been too much Obi-Wan Darth Vader on the Death Star. I think it would have been great if Luke had actually, but he got mortally wounded in the process.
Fair.
And Ren ends up retreating, and then he just turns around, and that's when he dies. But anyway, so we mentioned some of our things that we did like in this film. Any other scenes that we did enjoy? Because I don't want to just crap on this movie the whole time.
I do enjoy the you know, when she hyperspeeds into
it's a cool shot.
I just thought that was a really cool idea, cool shot. I love the Yoda stuff. That's honestly about it. I mean, I love Mark Hamill. I love Mark Hamill as an actor. I love him as a person.
And so he does a good job.
Anytime he's on screen, he's giving it his all, and he's great. So, like, I'll watch it just to see him. Whether you like the way the character's going or not, he's still fun to watch. Mm-hmm. Again, they kind of it's just so ass backwards, this movie, and it just, no, can't do it.
Brendan, any, all right, actually, before we do that, Sean, you want to do your Star City rating at that point?
Yeah, let me go with a 2.
A 2?
Yeah.
All right, Brendan, things that you like, things you didn't like, and your Star City rating.
I do feel like, I mean, I probably like a lot of the same stuff you guys probably like. I think the fight scene with where they're killing a Snoke was pretty awesome. A lot of that was pretty badass. I think that twist was really good. Again, the sacrifice of the starship was pretty sweet way to win the battle. That was pretty sweet. Yeah, I think I would say those are my highlights for the whole thing and whatnot. Star City rating, I'm probably a little more generous. I'll just say it's 3. It's fine. You know, I think if you're a Star Wars fan, it's probably a lot less than that. You might say, you know, it's 2.5 maybe. But yeah, it's the movie's fine.
All right, I'm gonna be vicious on this one. There are some good scenes in it. All the actors give whatever they have. Like Mark Hamill specifically said, he's like, "Oh, I don't agree with what they did with Luke, but I'm an actor paid to do a job. Like I'm going to do 100%. I'm not gonna stomp my feet about it."
Yeah. Which is awesome.
Yeah, like, and that's the mentality that they should have. I'm going to give this a 1.5.
If this is a 1.5, I cannot wait for next week.
Mm-hmm. You're sure you're not setting the bar too, I guess, low, high for the next one to kind of like clear?
2.5 is average. An average movie, I can sit down and watch.
You can't watch this movie.
I can't. I've tried. I have actively tried. I can watch the scenes that I like.
Yeah.
But if I have to split a movie into so many pieces that... Like, I was like, all right, I like this scene, and this scene, so I'll...
Here's another idea for you. If this had been the first movie in the trilogy, what do you think?
Again, it is the characterization of Luke Skywalker that really kills this movie for me.
Let me rephrase that. If this was the first movie in the trilogy and the original characters were not in it, like, if it was just the Finn, Rey, and Poe, like...
Maybe I would feel a little bit... But again, like, if it was just, like... Rey and the Kylo Ren story,
yeah,
and the two of them are like, it might be better,
okay,
but like the Rose and Finn stuff is just not good.
No, I agree with you, and I will stand by that. I just, again, I feel like they should have come up with an original idea to start off, maybe not have brought,
maybe ended the movie with legacy characters,
yeah, or them have them in cameos, not but they had
they should
to.
Be the quest givers that start the stuff off, like you said, the original idea. And have them be the ones that pass the idea. Again, trying to make this part of the Skywalker saga, making this trilogy part of the Skywalker saga was a mistake. Hmm.
All right. We have our Fan Feedback Friday. It's a short one. We didn't get as much participation. I'm kind of sad. For Star Wars Month, what is the worst Star Wars movie and or TV show? So, Ronnie, hot take, Clone Wars. Clone Wars is beloved. I don't know.
What?
Yeah, talking about the movie or the show?
It's an anti-animation person. That's why.
Easy. The movie was not that, like, the quote-unquote movie.
I remember the movie.
Yeah, we went to go see it. I said Book of Boba Fett.
I got to go with probably this, you know, Last Jedi.
Oh, wow. Not even Rise of Skywalker.
I don't, well...
Yeah, all right, no spoilers on that.
1A or 1B, yeah. I mean, you know.
But. What about you, Brendan? Worst Star Wars movie or TV show?
The Holiday Special.
We did talk to one of the writers of the Holiday Special. Oh my god, it's gonna drive me crazy. I forgot his name off the top. We did an interview with him. Somebody talk.
Yeah, I do remember seeing that somewhere in the catalog about the interview with the guy. Yeah,
I wasn't party to that conversation. I wish I would have been.
Yeah, I think you were invited to it.
I probably was.
Bruce Valanche.
Oh yeah.
Yes, I did want to be in on that interview.
Yeah, I think you just couldn't make it.
Couldn't make it.
And he did the entire interview with no shirt on.
Really?
Yeah. 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 But anyway.
I got a lot of questions for him.
Bert Kreisler, whatever his name is.
He's an interesting guy.
He is a very interesting. The interview was good. Yeah, you guys should check it out. MF Uncensored. But,
no, it is good. I remember actually listening to that one, actually. Yeah. I recognized him from Hollywood Squares.
Yeah,
that's it. Hollywood Squares.
He talks about Hollywood Squares.
And he writes for the Oscars.
He talked about that, too. He talked about the Holiday Special. But we want to thank you guys for listening. If you guys are looking for more of our material, make sure you guys check out our website, themisfitfaction.com. You can also check us out on all the social media, from Facebook to Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, whatever it is. Just type in The Misfit Faction or Cinematic Adventures. Odds are you'll find some of our stuff. Fan Feedback Friday comes up every Friday between 8 a.m. and 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, so make sure you guys keep an eye out for that. Brendan, what exactly do you do on the internet besides the stuff we can't talk about?
Besides hanging out with you guys on the internet, I like to create videos for YouTube for Magic the Gathering, focusing on the Brawl format, the historic Brawl format. So if you type in BlindBat8719, BLNDBAT8719, because there's no I, because I'm blind as a bat, into YouTube for the search, you can find my channel. And if you do check it out, please leave a comment in one of my videos saying you found me from the podcast. That would be really awesome to hear that the cross connectivity is actually, the cross promotions starting to work a little bit. So that'd be really awesome. And again, if you like playing Magic the Gathering, that's what I try to create content for. And I love playing the game. I've been playing the game. Ooh, gosh, I think third grade is when I got first introduced. Portal 93, I think it was. You know, and it's just I've been playing it ever since.
Very cool. All right, that is going to wrap us up for today. As always, I'm Paul.
I'm Sean.
And I'm Brendan.
And we'll see you guys next time.
The Force sucks in this one.
Oh, the Force is not with this one.